Before today's fashion mavens of Vogue and Harper's Bazaar had ever strutted their stuff, there was Diana Vreeland, the archetypal fashionista. Vreeland's style was pure flamboyance, but she made fashion magazines indispensable to women. As editor at Harper's Bazaar and then the editor at Vogue, Vreeland championed designers from Chanel to Balenciaga to Yves Saint Laurent. Diana Vreeland died in 1989. Her richly textured career concluded with a stint at the Costume Institute of the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. It began with a series of columns called Why Don't You? That first appeared in Harper's Bazaar in 1936. Eleanor Dwight has just completed a big, glossy biography of Vreeland. We invited her to read a sample from one of those early Why Don't You columns.
Why don't you turn your child into an infanta for a fancy dress party? Remember that little girls of 11 to 13 look divine in black taffeta with crimson sashes, white silk socks, and Kate Greenaway slippers of crimson satin. Remember that very little boys look best of all in hot weather in shantung, tiny white sleeveless blouses, button-on to colored shantung shorts, or natural shantung tailored overcoats with little stitched hats made of the same.
And I just love this thing. Why don't you rinse your blonde child's hair in dead champagne, as they do in France, or pat her face gently with cream before she goes to bed, as they do in England? She had done this because she designed herself. Even though she was from an old society family in New York, she was not an attractive young lady, and she decided to reinvent herself as a teenager. Would you tell us about that?
That's right. When you see the pictures of her when she's in her teenage years, she really is quite homely, and she saw herself as homely. So there was a diary that was left among her things, which she wrote in when she was 14. And there you see the angst of the teenager who wants to be better looking. And there are marvelous details in this. She wants to find somebody at school that she can imitate, and she's going to become that girl. And then at one point she decides that she doesn't really think anyone else is perfect, so she herself can be that girl. And she knew that even though her face wasn't gorgeous, she had beautiful black hair, she had a lovely figure for clothes, and she kind of just assessed all what the positive things were and made the most of those along with this fantastic flair and style that was innate.
Eleanor, how did Diana Vreeland transform American fashion after World War II so that she became the kind of legendary diva that she did? I mean, what was she using? Was it her force of personality?
Well, I think it was her force of personality and also her innate taste and her great knowledge. She comes into real prominence in the 60s with Vogue, and she plugs into all the rebellious sort of energy of the time, and she has the power then to show us what's happening in London, Mary Quant, the miniskirt, the youth quake, the rock music. She always believed that there was no separation between culture and fashion.
Let's look at one of these 60s magazines in which she uses the model Verushka, who was Russian and amazing looking and very, very tall. And Vreeland was one of the first to take a model, it seems so, like you see it everywhere now, but to take a model and put her out in an exotic location.
Yeah. That's right, she loved models who were different looking. Verushka was very tall and didn't have a great success finding jobs other places. And then Mrs. Vreeland, thought that her tallness was fabulous. She sent her models all over the world on these exotic shoots. She sent them to Turkey, to Syria and Lebanon. Lauren Hutton was photographed in the middle of a male initiation rite in Bali, and this wasn't always a great success. Bill Blass told me that these shoots were very creative, but they didn't necessarily sell the clothes that much.
Well, the complaint would come that these weren't clothes for real women.
That's right. And of course, by the end of the 60s, where we have that women's movement, which took so many women into the working place that who hadn't gone to work before, they needed clothes to wear to the office, where Mrs. Vreeland was into haute couture. She was into these wonderful sport clothes that she showed on these shoots. And I think this was one of the things that brought her down eventually at Vogue.
What
what happened that she offended, finally, the people who do the profit and loss in the most boring department of the magazine, the accounting department, lead to her downfall?
Well, the advertising pages declined, and the merchandisers and designers who were advertising in the magazine were annoyed because she had her favorite designers who she showed again and again. Others were left out. When she was fired, it was a complete surprise to her, but I think what she was the victim of was really this conflict really in the magazine business between the fact that it is a business and that it's also an art form.
She had a tendency to exaggerate. She wrote her own autobiography while she was still alive called DV, in which she really plays loose with the facts. But she seemed to stand for something awfully important to a lot of people.
Yes, well, the way she tells her stories and the way she, when at this time when she's writing her memoirs in the early 80s, and she's almost 80 herself, she as you say, she plays fast and loose with the facts, and she pretends, or she says that she grew up in Paris, which she didn't at all. And somebody in the family said to her, well, you know, Deanna, this isn't all fact, it's part fiction. And she said, yes, it's faction.
This was her faction. Word? Faction.
Faction was her word. I decided that instead of getting terribly concerned with whether everything was true, the way to see it was that these were her stories, and therefore this was part of Deanna. And I became actually terribly impressed with the brilliance of her storytelling.
Given how famous she became and what a gilded world she moved in, we should perhaps point out that she was a very devoted wife, married to the same man for more than 40 years, close to her two sons, although she does seem to have always told everyone around her how to dress and be beautifully dressed. Can you give us a description of just a typical Vreeland costume?
Well, what she would wear herself was she loved Chanel. She might have, at Harper's Bazaar, I was told that she would wear lots and lots of costume jewelry, wonderful chains. She would come in. The way she would walk was like a ballerina. She would enter the room. Everybody would turn around. It was always that life was theater. Fashion was theater, and life was theater, too. And she would clink and clank with her chains. And you never, when she appeared, everybody looked.
Well, it's been a great pleasure talking to you, Eleanor Dwight.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I've enjoyed it so much.
Eleanor Dwight is the author of the biography, Deanna Vreeland.